And all the time.
God is good.
It is good to see each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being here today on what looks to be a gorgeous day. Think it's going to be?
Yes.
All right. Well, I welcome you to First UMC. Thank you so much. And if you're visiting, my name's Eric Dirks, and I welcome you. It's just an honor to be a pastor of this church. And like I said, if you're visiting, you've come to the right place. These are great folk. And they will welcome you in a grand way. I have to say, though, you know what? After all this week's festivities with the 160th anniversary, I'm tired. Anybody else tired? Boy, I tell you what, by Thursday night rolled around, I was dragging. I was dragging. And I think there were some other folks that did set up and tear down every night that are in that same boat. And so why don't we start there, Diane? I think you're going to say a few words about that. Diane is the team leader of the worship team that planned all that. So.
Well, what a great week we had down there worshiping in the, at the harbor. And I just want to thank all of you. We had so many people who showed up to help and move tables and chairs and loan their vehicles. We were just overwhelmed by the amount of help we had, and it really didn't seem like work at all. You know, it was just a joy, and we enjoyed being together. Many of you prepared food, and that was all wonderful. Thanks to Warren for donating the meat. Thanks to the fellowship team for all their help with the food. And it was great to have Ignite there. Our kids are just great. Anything you ask them to do, they do and don't argue.
They really don't. That's the amazing
thing.
No, they really don't.
They were just great. Special thanks to Earl. He was really on double duty last week. And people were just constantly coming to him needing something. And he always had a smile and came through. Sarah got roped into a lot of things, and we appreciate her help, too. Randy Eaton was very enthusiastic about this whole event, so we just got him on board, and he did a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. It was great to have Pastor Pete back in the pulpit and fired up. And I know that Eric has thanked the worship team many times, but I want to do that again. A lot of them aren't here, I guess, but Deanna did a great job picking songs and lining up musicians. Our own praise team, Flame, was just outstanding. Doug was great with the sound system. Sharon Eichel went way above and beyond just getting together a few old pictures, and she really did a lot of research and put together some beautiful displays that we will have forever. She also took the leadership on designing and ordering the ornaments, which are for sale. Sharon May made all kinds of letters and phone calls and postcards. And, of course, Jamie, and we appreciate Eric's direction and spiritual leadership. And above all, I'd just like to thank God for sending the Holy Spirit for this event. I think just as each night unfolded, you could just really see how the Holy Spirit had really planned this whole thing, and it just all came together. John Wesley said, "You must be on fire for God." So now that we're on fire, let our service continue.
Amen. Thank you, Diane. I have to say many comments and compliments, but I have to say that a gentleman from the Baptist Church came up to me Thursday night, and he says, "Eric, we were here 3 out of the 5 nights, and I'm sorry I missed the other 2. But he says, "I want you to know that 2 of the 3 nights that we were here, we had service at our church, and we chose to come here instead." And so he says, I apologize for pulling him from his church, but praise God that they chose to help celebrate our 160th. He said it was amazing. Every night was totally different, but it all came together, and it all focused on the same thing at the end. And that's just God. That is just God. Amazing stuff. So thank you to all of you. Now, I do want to say, I'm going to invite up some other folks here in just a moment, but I want to say, make sure you take time to fill out your connection card. The connection card is the third page on your bulletin. There is a perforation between the connection card and the rest of the bulletin. You may need to fold it back and forth a couple times, but I invite you to fill that out and tear it off. Put that in the offering basket later on in the service. And while you're filling that out, I want to lift something up to you as well. Friday, October 1st. Get your pens or pencils out so you can write this down. Friday, October 1st is our sharing of the fifth quarter. Now, what fifth quarter is, it is a place for youth to be after the football game on Friday night. And we always do it in the middle school gymnasium because that way kids don't have to find rides and such. They can just all walk there from the football game. That's our next home game. And it is a great time. We've been having around 100, but typically we have more simply because they can walk right there to that. So what we need for that October 1st event, we need people to be at the doors and such so we know where the youth are. We need desserts. We need hot dogs, buns, chili, and lemonade. So people, desserts, hot dogs, buns, chili, and lemonade. And if you want to write that on something and put that in the offering basket, make sure you put your name down and what you would like to bring. Or if you want to call the office, either one of those is a perfect way to do that. I tell you what, this is a great way for you to support the youth of this community, and it reaches beyond even our youth group, which is pretty amazing. So, and I just want to lift up, too, I don't know if you remember that the pastors got together in April, maybe it was March of last year, this year, beg your pardon, it seems like a long time ago. And because, remember, the pool had closed, there weren't any activities per se for our children and our youth and all this throughout the summer, and so we came together and we organized a lot of activities each week for our youth. Well, that group has become known as the Benton County Youth Coalition. Benton County Youth Coalition, and we are meeting at the school second Tuesday of the month, right now at 4. We're wanting youth participation, and so we're going to move that time so that we will have youth participation in that. But we had it at the school and at 4 because several teachers wanted to be a part of that as well. So please pray. If you hear anything about the BCYC, Benton County Youth Coalition, that's us, and we are working to create opportunities for kids that don't have alcohol or drugs involved. And so we're excited about that, and I hope you're excited about that as well. In regards to fifth quarter, that's something else that we can do to support our youth and children. All right, we have some important folks. All of you are important, but I want to lift up some folks here. A while back, we had a training program, and if any of you have seen AED, the letters AED, you might remember this. And several went to a training, because what an AED is it's down here in the glass entryway, and it is for folks who have maybe have a heart attack, and this training helped people know how to use that device. It has great instructions, but we wanted to be ahead of the curve, so to speak, and so people that understand what it's about. It's an emergency device, and I'm going to call those folks up now who took this course so that we can congratulate them. Jackie Godey, are you here? Okay. Carol Fry? There, I thought I'd seen you. Judy Reynolds. Cheryl Close. Carrie Brashears. Larry Kahn. Holly Kahn. Vicky Schroeder. Warren Schroeder, William Bissell, huh? Wow. I've always known you as Bill, so. Dorothy Bissell, Randy Morrow, Debbie Morrow, Jodale Hedrick. You got to have a troublemaker in every class. And then Roberta Hedrick. Love you, Jodale. Once we get up here, Carol, Judy, Cheryl, you're not Carrie, Larry, Holly, oh, there's Carrie, okay, Vicky, Warren, Bill, Dorothy, Randy, Debbie, Vicky, Warren, Roberta, you're Roberta Hedrick Hedrick. Did you know that? Yeah. Jodale and Carrie. Let's give these folks a hand. Thank you all so very much for being a part of this. We want everyone to be a part of this training so that we are all up to speed on how to use that device. This is important and personal to this church because before Jamie and I got here several years ago, help me out, I'm not sure how many years ago, the youth director had a heart attack during youth and passed away. And so this is a personal issue in this church, and we want to be prepared now. So we will be having further trainings, so please make sure when you hear about that, that you come and be a part of that training, and so that all of us will know exactly what to do with regards to those emergency situations. All right, thank you all so much. Please make sure that you pay attention to all the announcements that are in your bulletin. They are all very important, and there are some specific things that we're in need for that are dated. So please pay attention to those announcements and compare that to your calendar as well so that you'll know what's going on. Two things that I will mention. 2 o'clock today, we're having softball practice. 2 o'clock today, softball practice. Sports and Rec group here in church is trying to get involved in things like this. And lo and behold, Parks and Rec called up and said, hey, we're starting a softball league for adults. Are you interested? And we said, absolutely. So anyone here who loves to just have fun, it's not a competitive thing. Oh, yeah, there'll be a little bit. But, you know, it'll be more fun than anything. Folks, we need 50% women and 50% men. I guess if you have 50% women, men would be the other option on that, right? So make sure that ladies especially, please sign up if you're at least, even a little bit interested, because we want to have fun and be involved with that. Also, this week, there's a change on Thursday night, 5:30. If you're on a ministry team, make sure you call your team leader, because that's when the teams meet at 5:30. 6:30 is when administrative council is going to meet, because there's a special little presentation that some folks want to bring to the council. So 5:30 ministry team, 6:30 administrative council. All right, I hope I haven't forgotten anything. Are you ready for an awesome worship service this morning?
Yes.
All right, let us begin our worship now as Marion brings our prelude to us, and then we will sing our songs of praise after that. Marion?
Thank you.
Thank you. If you're able, would you please stand and sing our songs that are on the monitors?
Both of these are familiar songs with you this morning. Make sure you sing loud and proud as you praise God. Spirit, God, if we are sick, whether it's spiritually or physically, we just ask for your powerful anointing to be upon us. If we have a mental illness, God, anoint us in a way that heals us. Powerfully anoint us, God, in Jesus' name. If the devil's knocking at our door, we ask you, because of your presence, to make him run scared from this place. If there's any evil or negative thoughts, God, make all of them run scared from your light. May your spirit enter us, God, and fill every nook and cranny so that every shadow is filled with your light. We love you so much, and that's why we're here. We want to focus our lives upon you, God, and we thank you for this week. Make us one with each other, Lord, in Jesus' name. Fill us. Strengthen us. Heal us. Empower us. Make us one with you as we worship you today. Amen. The days of Elijah. Let's get our hands going today, all right?
Come forward, and Kathy Anistead is going. want to speak with you. Let's sing a
Jesus.
This morning, almost all of you I know, and so I'm really glad to see my old friends that I don't get to see so much at school anymore. Our scripture today is the Lord's Prayer, and our sermon today is called Our Father. And probably the most important word in that phrase is Father, and there's a lot of things that could be said about Father, but I'm actually going to concentrate on the word Our. What does our mean? Our means belonging to us. U.S. Us. U.S. is also the abbreviation for the United States, isn't it? And sometimes I'm afraid we get to thinking that our Father belongs to the United States. And people who look like us, and people who think like us. And we have a tendency to maybe make fun of people who don't look like us, and to disregard the things that they think are important, and to grab their land and use their resources. But the Bible tells us something different. The Bible said that when Jesus was born, the angel said, "Do not be afraid, I have good news of a great joy that has come to all the people." And in the book of John it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Not just to people who look like us and think like us, but to the whole world. So what does that mean for you guys? Well, it means if there's someone out on the playground and you don't think their clothes are very pretty, or you don't think they look the way they should, that doesn't give you the right to make fun of them. That they're a child of God just like you are, and we need to treat them with love and respect. But it also means if you're out on the playground and you don't think your clothes measure up, or you don't think you're as pretty, or you don't think you learn as fast as someone else, and someone teases you that their words don't have to make you sad, because you know that they don't know the truth, that you're a child of God and you deserve love and respect. But you know, sometimes it isn't someone else who makes us feel bad. It's ourselves. We look at other people and we think, you know, they run faster than me, or they're a better athlete, or she's prettier than I am, or man, everybody seems to be learning these multiplication facts and I'm still struggling. What am I supposed to do? Well, the fact is, you need to keep trying at whatever you do, but God didn't make everybody good at everything. That's okay, or we'd all have every job to do. God made each of us, though, especially good at something, and we need to find out what that something is and do our best at it. But whenever you look around at anybody, as we look around this group here, each of you is a child of God. But as you look out into the world, everyone is a child of God. And everyone deserves to be treated with love and respect. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly God, Father, I personally thank you for each child here. They are such a blessing to our church and to our world. And we are grateful that you created them. But we're grateful that you created all the children and all the people around the world. And we know that if we treat them with the love and respect that you want us to, that we will finally have a world at peace. Help us to do that. Amen.
While we're getting our hymnal open to number 522, our song of praise, Leave It There, let me remind you that the children are picking up coins for our mission apportionments. And in 2009, they collected over $4,600 toward our apportionment. Praise be to God. My problem is taking it back. Don't take it back. You're supposed to leave it there. It's our times for joys and concerns. And if you will turn to the back page, you will see listed here all of our dear ones in the nursing home assisted living. And we also have members that need our prayers, as well as these people that have been brought forward to me. Doug McCain, he has 5 weeks of radiation to go through. And Jim Reeser is having congestive heart trouble. Oh, excuse me. And Doug also has to have a tumor removal. And these people are the relation of Sean Miller, and we ask prayers for Doug and Jim. We ask prayers for Brad Green. This is Shonda Miller's father, and there's a questionable diagnosis he's waiting for, and we need to praise the Lord or ask him for a good result for this diagnosis. We have Dan Decker. This is Pastor Decker's son. He was in a motorcycle accident. He has a crushed leg and collapsed lung. So we need prayers for his healing. On the other side, we have some PTLs. For the little girl, I've asked prayers for Morgan. She's out of ICU, and she's in her wheelchair and being able to move around, and the three breaks in her back are not as bad as bothering her, that she's not supposed to move her toes because all 10 toes are also broken. But she's doing very well, and her spirits are up now, so this is good for Morgan. She's in Omaha Children's Hospital. And the Wasner's, but I checked with them, and I saw pictures of this little three-year-old girl in a hospital bed and everything, and that was at, was it one or nine in the morning or whatever, and the next day at 2 p.m, she's in a ballerina outfit bouncing around. Her heart surgery went very well. And also for the BCYC, this is a good thing. We need more participation in that, Pastor. That's wonderful. Please remember to take these home and put them by your prayer chair or wherever you talk with the Lord, and remember them all by name, and especially our service personnel. So now as we still our hearts and calm our minds, we're going to go to our Father in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you to honor, praise, and worship you. We claim your promise that when two or more are gathered together, you will be with us here as you are today. You are with us here. We are in complete awe and amazement of your awesome power, generosity, and unconditional love. We especially thank you for the saving grace you lavished on us by sending your precious Son, Jesus, to die a gruesome death, that we may be washed whiter than snow, all our sins taken away. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We also thank you for the cloud of witnesses that went before us and laid down a foundation for us. Help us rid ourselves of any and all things that hinder us and keeps us from your love. Keep us from the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We praise you for the wonderful time of fellowship, fun, and friendships renewed, strengthened, and newly made at the 160th homecoming celebration. Thank you. Thank you for moving the hearts of all those who stepped up to the challenge to plan and execute this uplifting event. Their tireless hours of service have greatly benefited us all, and we praise you for this, Father. And we give you praise and glory for the leadership of our congregation and the many talents you have provided our members. We are truly blessed. Please continue to guide and direct us. Dear Lord, we could praise you for hours and endless days, but your children need to ask your help. As Moses said, we are a stiff-necked people. Forgive our wickedness and sin. Take us as your inheritance, straighten our paths, and help us do no harm, do good, and always walk with you, Lord. Don't let the slow fade work its way into our lives. Dear Father, you are the great healer, the author of creation, Almighty God. We lift up to you unspoken prayers and humbly ask you lay your healing hands on our dear friends in the nursing home, that they may be comforted and blessed. For our service personnel, protect and guide them and bring them home safe to us. We especially remember Doug as he's going through 5 weeks of radiation and a tumor removal. What a stressful time for him and his family. And Jim Reeser's congestive heart failure. Father, we just pray that you can heal him. You put your loving arms around the family. Put your comfort and guidance with the doctors. We lift up Brad Green, Shonda's father, that his diagnosis may be one that is positive and simple. We raise Dan Decker to your loving arms. Pastor Decker's son, whose motorcycle accident crushed his leg, collapsed his lung, and left him in dire straits. Only you can heal him, Father. Give courage to the family and the doctors. And we praise you for Morgan's coming health and her getting out of the ICU and everything being mended. And for little Gabby, up and bouncing around after heart surgery, Lord, we just praise you for the wellness of our children and their health. And for the BCYC, let them get strong in this county, Lord. Let them really put arms around our children and bring them into you. Loving Father, we lift up these and all our friends that are not here today. We have the assurance that you always answer our prayer. And so we come humbly before you, Father, and ask your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Diane. We're going to sing a song that some of you probably have heard before, and we get requests over and over again to sing it again. And so we're going to sing it. We love to do it. It's a song by Babbie Mason, and we made it into a duet. So, Doug? Let's get to snapping this morning.
A sweet little lady went to talk to her preacher. This is what she had to say. She said, some of our folks have started carrying on and acting in a very undignified way.
They've been saying amen in the middle of the service, shouting out loud, and it makes me nervous. Preacher, I've had about all I can take. Please do something for heaven's sake.
Well, the preacher thought it over for a minute or two about the way it used to be when the service just lasted for under an hour. Nothing counted for eternity.
The choir used to sing and the people would stay. Well, the invitation came, but the altar was bare. Then he said to the sister as he showed her the door, I'll do something, and that's for sure.
Well, the very next Sunday as he started his sermon, this became his number one goal, to remind the people of how it used to be before the Lord came and took control.
He said some of our folks have started carrying on, lifting their voices and praising the Lord. Others don't understand why you act this way.
Brothers and sisters, carry on. Misses and misters, you see, it does not matter what others say or do. Carry on if the Lord has been good to you.
People, you can praise the Lord and even raise your hands.
Shout hallelujah and say amen. The church has been quiet for much too long. Brothers and sisters, carry on. It's moving among the people. There's a smile on each and every face.
So let the preacher preach and let the saints respond.
Get behind us, Satan. We are carrying on. Carry on. Brothers and sisters, carry on.
Yeah, you see, it does not matter what others say or do. Carry on if the Lord has been good to you.
Well, you can praise the Lord.
And even raise your hand.
Shout hallelujah.
And say amen.
The church has been quiet for much too long. Brothers and sisters, carry on. Carry on. Brothers and sisters, carry on.
Misses and misters, see, it does not matter what others say or do. Carry on because God has been good to you.
Well, you can praise the Lord and even raise your hands.
Shout hallelujah and say amen.
The church has been quiet for much too long.
Brothers and sisters. Misses and misters.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Brothers and sisters. Why don't you carry on?
Amen.
And all God's people said, amen.
We know you can do it. You know, we have some exciting things going on here at First Church. And after that, and after what's happened this week, we thought it was a great time to announce something that's going on that's new. You know, we always have new things going on, don't we? Praise God. Praise God. Something that I have been praying about, and actually for probably about 12 years have been really feeling the need for, is something that we are beginning here at this church. And so I just give God praise for those who have stepped up and others who will step up as soon as they hear from Cliff.
That was a much quieter introduction than the one that you gave earlier this morning. Thank you. As part of the Caring Ministries, I've been involved with the prayer warriors, but I want to talk first on a prayer group that we're starting to work with. Prayer groups are in the process of being formed with the purpose of weekly praying, W-E-E-K-L-Y, weekly praying for our church, our congregation, our pastors and their families, the youth leaders, for Ignite and the youth and the children of the church in the area, lay leadership, members of committees, and anything else that might come up in the life of the church. The goal is to pray God's will. Thanks, praise, worship, leadership, and asking for His presence and His anointing. Now, you're going to hear more about these prayer groups in the next few weeks. We're in the process of beginning and just starting with a small group, and it will expand. And one of the things we need from you is that when you fill out your card on the back, your connection card, on the back page, the very, very back page on there, there's one area down in this area that says prayer team. And we would like anyone that is interested in prayer teams to at least put your big check in there, let us know, so that we know some of the people that we'll be contacting and talking to in the future. The other thing we're talking about is something that's been going on for now. It's nothing new. It's something that's been going on for quite a while, and that is the prayer warriors. I've been asked to mention in one of the small groups we have is the prayer warriors. Prayer warriors have been going on, and I put out the other day that we're starting our 12th year, and I went back and did a little research and found out we're starting our 13th year. 1998, we started the prayer warriors. The prayer warriors started with, what really was just a prayer chain on the telephone from the church, and found out that a number of those people on the telephone had computers at the time, had email addresses. And so we started the prayer warriors. It's an email prayer chain of a sort. We are constantly looking for prayer requests, updates, and PTLs. And on occasion, once in a while, a message will get out that's too late to get in the bulletin or too late to get out otherwise, that needs to get out from the church office or from Eric, or we will have a message that will go out and try to reach as many people as possible. We say as many people as possible. 223 email addresses are sent out on almost a daily basis, sometimes two or three times a day, and sometimes once every couple of days we get those sent out. We'd like to thank Vicki Schroeder and Linda Bodie for all the help they do as my backup with this and getting it out. Also included on the prayer warriors is a list of the service personnel and a couple of the scriptures we put out when I put out the prayer warriors. If you are not getting the prayer warriors and would like to do so, on the other side of that connection card where it has your name, there's a place here for email address. If you'll write the email address much better than I write, otherwise write it so you can read it, and circle that, and that will let us know in the office that that you want to be a member of the prayer warriors, and I will start getting that information out to you as soon as possible. And we will get that to you, and hope that you will become one of the prayer warriors. Thank you.
Cliff, if I want my email to remain private, will it go out to everyone when you send a prayer warriors?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you want your email to be private, I will make every effort to make sure it doesn't go out. I send it to an undisclosed recipient.
Thank you.
Send it to BCC. And we're still working on getting that done all the time, but I send it out to BCC so it stays and remains private, and it doesn't go out that way. And
don't confuse that with a BCYC.
Gotcha.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I am very excited about this. Prayer is a very powerful thing. Amen. And we are already known as a praying church in this community, and I give God praise for that. And we just want to increase something that you're already good at, and that is to pray for specific things within the life of this church and this community so that God can even in more powerful ways move through us. All right, our scripture for today is taken from Matthew chapter 6. I invite you to take your Bible out or the Pew Bible, Matthew chapter 6. Now, for those who may not know, where is Matthew, in the Old or the New Testament? Yes, New Testament. As a matter of fact, it is the first book of the New Testament. So you can turn to more or less the back of your Bible and just turn a few pages forward, and you'll find Matthew at the beginning of the New Testament. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, please, and we'll begin with verse 9. Once you find that... Once you find that, would you stand with me? There you go, Ray. You can stand now. And close that Bible on your finger, and let's raise those Bibles high above our head. And if I can get my... There we go. Let's say our Bible pledge loud and proud this morning. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing with me as we read Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Jesus said, "Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Nope, you're fine. Yep. I have a question for you this morning. And it may seem kind of odd, but stick with me. Who are you? Who are you? I don't know about you, but whenever I get asked that question, the first thing I usually say, "Oh, I'm pastor of First United Methodist Church in Warsaw." What do you all say when people ask you a similar question? Who are you? You can talk. They work, right? By the way, let's do a shoulder check real quick, all right? Everybody raise their hand. Hey, they work, don't they? Yeah, all right. Just checking. Just double checking. All right. So who are you? When people ask you, you know, something similar to who are you, do you say banker, lawyer, construction worker, retired, banker, retired, anyway. Yeah. Fisherman. Who are you? Retired with a capital R. That means you are already tired and now you're retired, right? You know, one of the most often asked statements or questions to me is, "Eric, I don't understand how to pray." Or, you know, "Eric, how do you pray?" And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be dissecting this teachable moment when Jesus was teaching his disciples about prayer. Now, I ask you the question, who are you? Because of the way this prayer begins. So again, I ask you, who are you? What is your identity? What is your identity? How do you define yourself? It's not a trick question. It's pretty. Are you a teacher? Are you? Who are you? How do you define yourself? Oh, there are those people who skip ahead in the sermon, don't they? You know, the thing is, just hang on to that. The thing is, many times we do define ourselves by what we do, don't we? And the question always remains, and people that retire have this issue, and it's a serious issue. What am I at that point? And quite honestly, I can only speak for guys, and I talk to a lot of guys about this. Guys have a real issue with this. When that's all they've ever known, right? And all of a sudden, they're not that anymore. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever that is. Preacher, teacher, farmer, construction, lawyer, whatever. So you know, one of the things that, as I was thinking about this sermon, and I was going, okay, what happens, Eric, when the day comes and you maybe can't concentrate enough to put a sermon together? I mean, some days I have that issue now. Right? What am I when I maybe retire or I no longer can do this calling of God? What will I be then? And that kind of was a troubling thought to me. And maybe you all have thought about that as well. What will you be when that day comes? Jesus, in his teaching with his disciples, he taught them how to pray. He begins his prayer with "Our Father." Our Father. And I have to say, as an aside, Kathy and I did not talk before this. God works in amazing ways. Now, the unfortunate thing with living in the age that we live in is the fact that we don't hear the significance of that statement. Many of us have said that prayer since before we were born, right? In our mama's belly, we heard mama saying it, right? Our Father, who art in heaven. I mean, we could say it. I mean, matter of fact, there's a story, and I have always assumed it's true, where this man was in a camp because he was caught as a U.S. soldier, and he was in a camp. I think it was Vietnam. And something had happened to him where he lost total memory. Lost all of his memory. And one day, his fellow prisoners said that he began saying, "Our Father." And for a couple of days, he said, "Our Father, our Father, our Father." And then some time passed, and he caught the next sentence. "Our Father, who art in heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven." And over a month's time, he actually remembered all of the Lord's Prayer. And the amazing thing about this story is, when he remembered the Lord's Prayer, he remembered sitting next to his mother in church saying the Lord's Prayer. And guess what that did for him? Suddenly he remembered who he was. Suddenly he remembered who he was. Jesus begins this prayer with "Our Father." And the unfortunate thing about living in this age is many times we've heard it so many times we don't understand the significance of "Our Father." You see, in the disciples' day and age, you have to understand, God was something to be feared. God was a judge and disciplinarian, right? God was one who the fear was great enough that you dare not mention God's name aloud. So all of a sudden, Jesus says, "Our Father." Okay, Eric, what's the big deal about that? You have to understand, Father, another word for Father is Abba. And the best way to translate that is Daddy. Talk about a non-formal way to address this lifted high and lifted up one, this holy one. Right? This one who, when their priests walk in to the holy place, they wear bells around their waist. And everyone outside of the holy place, whenever they hear those bells stop ding-a-linging, they know that the priest had died because of God's presence. And guess what? They have a rope tied to them. And so they can pull the priest out of that place. This is one to be feared. This is one who you didn't mess with. This was, yes, respect, creator, lover of this community of Israel, right? But one that you feared. And yet Jesus, in his prayer, said, now put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Think about that. Being raised with that on your mind, who God was, and all of a sudden, Jesus says, you start the prayer like this. Dear Daddy. Now, you know what? I still call my dad Daddy. Hey, Daddy, what's up today? Hey, Daddy, what do you need today? And probably if people were listening to me, they'd be thinking, how old are you anyway? But I just like Daddy. I think, to me, there's a lot of respect there. And it shows Dad and my relationship, right? And that's the kind of relationship that Jesus wants us to establish with his Daddy. Everybody following me? Say amen if you understand. So Jesus' prayer begins with Abba. It's like Daddy, and it is very personal. And the disciples are not used to it. It was probably a shock to them to hear this, our Father or dear Daddy. And it is amazing, even though we just assume, because we've heard that so much, we don't think about it. It was quite a shock for the disciples. Now, I want you to think about this. If Jesus tells us to pray or to start our prayers out with our Father, and what does Father, what's another way to say that? Abba, which is another way to say what? Daddy, right, okay. So what does that imply we are if Jesus, the Son of God, tells us to begin our prayers with that language? What? I can't hear you. Oh, come on now, I can't hear you. You're a child of God. You and me together are children of God. Amen? Have you ever heard this before in this church? We are children of God. Each of us individually is a child of God. Now, I want you to think about something for a minute. What would your life be like if you actually believed that? Sorry if I just spit on you. What would your life be like if you actually made decisions out of that place? What would your life be like? I am a child of God, and so therefore, what? Fill in the blank. What would your life be like? David Samuel, I don't want to embarrass you, so you better sit down and pay attention. And that's my son, if you're visiting, so I can say that. I love you, son, but pay attention. And this is your daddy talking. So, that is the first thing that Jesus is trying to get through the disciples' head. They are a child of God. And when we pray, our Father, guess what? We are a what? We are a what? One more time, we're a what? Do you believe it? You see, Jesus prayed this prayer in many prayers, or he began prayers with our Father, or my Father, or dear Father, in many prayers. The Garden of Gethsemane would be one that he prayed to his Father. What would it mean for us to be able to say that this is who I am, and nothing can take that away from me? Nothing I do or fail to do, nothing that anyone else says or does to me can take away the fact that I am a what? Let's say I am, because that'll get you involved in it, right? I am a child of God, right? Nothing can take that away from you. It doesn't matter if I lose my mind and I can't be a preacher anymore. I will still be a what? A child of God. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? There is so much power in these two words, our Father. So when you begin the Lord's Prayer with our Father, it reminds us that we are a child of God. Amen? Now, I have to just take a pause for a minute, and I want to say, many of us have been raised in families that have abusive fathers. I am fully aware of that, and I'm sure Jesus was fully aware of that as well. I'm sure abuse happened in Jesus' day just as much as it does or more as it does now, right? So why would Jesus use this language of Father? Well, you got to think of the culture that he lived in. You have to think of all these things that he lived in. And the best way, my understanding, is the best way that he could communicate with the people of that day and age is by a father figure. Now, here's the thing. Am I implying that your abusive situation is the father that's defined in Jesus' prayer? No. What we have to do as a church... Many people have this issue when we talk about the church family, right? Oh, I don't want to be involved in a church family. The only family I knew is all screwed up, right? I don't want to just be involved in another screwed up family. And believe me, right? Sinners admitting that we're sinners, right? We have to redefine these terms. Father, think of the best possible father that you could think of. Think of a father where you have no fear. Think of the father where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he has your best interests at heart. Where you know you can always go and be safe. Where you know that that father will always defend you and be on your side of the aisle, if you understand what I'm saying. That father that will love you no matter what mistakes you have made. That is the father that Jesus is talking about. Well, Eric, that's impossible. Well, you know, in human standards, probably it is. Because everyone, fathers and mothers alike, have bad days, don't we? We have days when our kids get on our nerves, don't we? I mean, honestly, nothing against the kids. It's just the way it is. All right? So we have to understand that the father that Jesus is talking about here is not this abusive father. He's trying to redefine, even for the disciples. Remember when I said the disciples thought of God as being disciplinarian, judge, feared, right? Jesus is all of a sudden saying, now wait a minute here, I want you to push pause on that. No, he didn't know. Well, anyway, I want you to stop thinking about God that way, and I want you to think of God this way. And that's what we need to do in the church. We need to redefine who God is, or who a father is, if we want to call God Father. Amen. So I want you to hear, I don't want you to hear this abusive setting whenever we talk about Father in the prayer, our Father who art in heaven. This is a God, this is a Father who loves you and wants the best for you, who protects you in all cases. And as if you remember right, this is the Father who sent Jesus Christ. And Jesus chose to do what? Give his life for you and me. This is a father of deep, deep compassion and love. This is a God who cares for us. And you know what? The amazing thing is it's an undeserved caring, isn't it? Really? It's an undeserved love. Remember, the Father, I like to say the forgiving Father, right? Many times we talk about it as what? Let me see, what is it? The son that ran away and came back. What do we call that? That's right, the prodigal son. And we always forget about the older brother because he identifies most of us. But anyway, so we have this younger son and this older son, right? And who is represented as God in that story? The father. The father who is waiting for the son to come home. The father who, while the son is still rehearsing what he's going to tell his father, runs to his son who spent half of everything that he's ever owned, which is big. And yet that father wouldn't even let him apologize, right? He ran up to him and hugged him and kissed him and says, "Son, come home. We're going to throw a party," right? What do we miss most today? And I've said it before. We need to do more what? Partying, that's right. So folks, we represent a God. This Father, this word Father represents a God of grace who accepts us, who knows that we're going to make mistakes. Who knows that we're going to make mistakes. Now, real quick, I've left out one word. Our. Have you ever thought about that? Amen, brother. That's a very simple three-lettered word, isn't it? But guess what it means? You know, Jesus could have said, "My Father," couldn't he? Because in a literal sense, my belief is that God is Jesus' Father, right? So he could have said, "My Father, hallowed be your name," couldn't he? But what did Jesus say? He said, "Our Father." He's teaching his disciples that we are not alone. I know you were waiting for something much bigger than that, weren't you? But you know what? When you really think about it, that's pretty big, isn't it? Folks, we are not alone. This community right here, Christianity in general, but that's awful hard, isn't it? That's awful big. I mean, even when you think about United Methodism and the United Methodist Church being 8.5 million people, that's kind of like, oh, geez, how do you get your mind around that? And so we can whittle it down to right here, 500 people in this church. Oh, maybe that's too big. Well, guess what? Small groups. This is our family. The redefined family, right? This is the hour that Jesus talks about in Our Father who art in heaven. You know, it is amazing to me, Thursday night, after the final night of the 160th anniversary, okay? And we're pulling the trailers up, getting everything back in the church. We just found out about Shanda's dad and the possibilities of what's going on there, right? And you know what? I had three people come up to me and say, "Eric, I'll go down. I'll go down and see him and visit with the family." I had another person who said, "Eric, I'll ride with you when you go down to see this family." That, folks, is the hour in Our Father. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Now, do we make mistakes? Yeah. Do sometimes we fall short and people don't think we help enough? Yes, we do. We don't understand sometimes. But I hope and pray that everyone, when they, when you see the need, what is it? You've heard the call. A brother of mine said that the other night, and it's kind of sticking with me. Pastor Pete. When you see the need, you've heard the call, right? And a lot of times the problem is seeing the need. Amen? You can't know what you don't know, right? But that is what the hour in Our Father is all about. Not only is God Daddy, and you have the permission to say, "Dear Daddy," in your prayers. Oh, Eric, that's not holy enough. Boy, I don't know. That's awful. That's awful holy to me. That's right here, close. But don't forget the hour. You are not alone. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I don't know about you all, but the last couple of weeks, Pastor Eric's had the Holy Spirit working in him. And amen. Everybody, amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to edify us. And so now, Pastor, are you listening? I ask you, are you listening? Brothers and sisters, prepare your first fruits harvest to give to the Lord as our ushers come forward to accept our offering. Oh, we have a song to sing.
Well, you were sounding great.
Oh, okay. All right. Invitation song. How Great Thou Art, page 77. Is that right? Thank you. Please stand and let's shout to the Lord.
Let's do the first and the last stanzas.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Amen.
How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Please be seated. And now, Miss Diane, will the ushers please wait upon us as we collect our tithes and offerings? And remember to put those connection cards in there as well.
Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Abba, Father, Daddy, we bring you our first fruits that you may use it to this congregation's good and to your worldwide mission. We thank you and praise you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in our closing song. When we offer to heaven, the Bible, page 701 of the hymnal. Let's sing verses 1 and 4.
1 and 4, 701.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. All right, here we go. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming today. My prayer is that you felt God's presence in your life as we worship together. I do want to say, look at that beautiful rose up there on that organ. That stands for a beautiful life that was born. Safe arrival of Jacob Thomas Jackson, grandson of Cliff and Joan Soppy. So make sure that you congratulate, yes, Cliff and Joan. Folks, I think you could say this together. As you go from this place, remember that you are a child of God. Hey, man, that is awesome, isn't it? So be a child of God. Make decisions out of the fact that you are a child of God. Amen. Live your life joyfully out of the fact that you are a child of God. And as you go from this place, know that God is richly with you. I mean, God is so thick around you that people that are with you know that. And God is going before you, preparing the hearts and minds of all the people that you'll cross, your paths will cross. Amen. May you experience this week God's mighty, powerful peace in your life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, shalom to you. Amen.